song called Melodia Lyubov, a song of love, and that was performed by the Quartet Bernicke, the Bernicke Quartet, four members of a family of 13, and they are the Bernicke family, and I was very fortunate to meet some of the members of this family, and because the parents hosted the group that I was with Heart, and we were on an excursion in the Carpathian Mountains and Transcarpathia area, and they opened their home to us. They fed us fabulous food, and they did entertain us as well one evening. Some of the kids set up their equipment and did a little performance for us. And they have put out about 8 CDs. They are very hot on the Christian music scene in Ukraine, which is sort of still an underground movement. It is post-Soviet state, and so this is something new to them, to that area. And they go around Ukraine, Russia, all of the former Soviet Union. They're very, very popular, very well known, and as mentioned, they have put out several CDs, and I came home with quite a few of them, and we'll be sharing some more of their music later on in the program as well as in the weeks ahead. But coming up next is something very special. I was able to sit down on that wacky, crazy, very fast-paced trip. I managed to snag Lloyd Seneco, who is the founder of Heart, and get him to tell us just what Heart's all about, what their goals are, their aspirations, a little bit about their history and their vision for the future and what it could be in Ukraine. We're in Lviv, Ukraine, and I have with me now the founder of Heart, the host of my trip to Ukraine this year. His name is Lloyd Seneco. Welcome, Lloyd.
Thanks very much, Paulette.
First of all, the question I've been getting the most is, what is Heart? So first of all, can we answer that question? What is Heart?
Well, Heart is a relief aid and a mission organization designed primarily to equip and empower and encourage national ministries, national pastors here in Ukraine, indigenous people, as they try to do the work that God has called them to do.
So how is Heart different then from other many missionary, many churches and many organizations, NGOs have sent people here as missionaries to help the people here? How do you do things differently from the other missionaries?
Most other mission organizations have a philosophy in the Protestant churches of sending missionaries. Our philosophy has been completely different because this was not part of my background. So when I first came to Ukraine, I realized that I wasn't going to be a missionary here. But there were a lot of things that we could do for these people practically. And so essentially what we do is we seek out the best ministries that we can find in Ukraine, doing all kinds of different work with orphans, with widows, with summer camp programs, in hospitals, with youth, with street children, boys in prison. We seek out the best and the brightest ministries we can find. We partner with them. We assess their needs and provide them with the resources that they need. One of the important aspects of what we do is we also hold them accountable. So whenever we give resources from people in North America, we're always concerned about how the funds are being used. And so that's an important aspect of our ministry, is just holding people accountable. And as a result, we have never had problems with ministries not using funds the way they initially agreed to. And the system works. It's a very simple system, and it's just meeting a lot of needs here in the country of Ukraine.
So what are some of the needs that you're involved with?
You know, every different ministry would have different requirements. For example, we partner with ministries going into orphanages, and in orphanages, they'll have birthday parties for the kids. They'll have weekly programs for the kids, all kinds of stuff that they wouldn't normally get at an orphanage. Typically, orphanages are not a very stimulating place to live. And so when people from the outside come in and love these kids and teach them things, teach them games and songs and celebrate their birthdays, well, we have ministries that go into orphanages, and their request to us in terms of resources, they need transportation costs. They're going to orphanages out in the country where no one from the West has ever seen or will ever see. But these orphanages do exist, and they're pretty poor. And so these ministries need transportation fees so they can get a car full of volunteers to come out to this orphanage on a weekly basis. They would need some funds to buy presents for the kids or candy for the kids or balloons if they're celebrating birthdays. So very simple resources, not a lot of money. Some of these ministries were funding at like $50 a month or $100 a month, which is not a lot of money, but it makes such a tremendous impact in, let's say, an orphanage ministry. And all of the other ministries are like this. For example, some of the soup kitchens that we partner with, they need funds, obviously, to buy some of the food. Most of the ministries we partner with have their own gardens, so they bring their own potatoes and carrots and things like that. But some of the specialty items that they would have at a soup kitchen, they require, you know, to be purchased. And so we provide them with some funds that they can purchase some things like this, some additional kinds of food.
So what you're doing is essentially setting up a skeleton staff in Canada and even here in Ukraine. But your mission is to empower people, essentially not give a man a fish, as so many missionaries do, but teach a man to fish and feed him for life.
Paulette, when we started this ministry 16 years ago, I really thought that this would be a very temporary ministry. I thought maybe after 10 years we would probably be working ourselves out of a job, which is what we intended. We initially wanted to be a bridge between the fall of communism and the point where the local churches have become or will become self-sufficient. And so our goal is not to just keep funding ministries. Our goal is to have these people become self-sufficient. So everything that we do is designed around that. And so in other words, in the last 16 years, we have over 200 partnerships in Ukraine, Moldova, Romania, and Belarus, and not one of these ministries is dependent upon us. And I think that's another key element to what we do. And one of the things that I believe makes us very unique is that we're teaching people to be self-sufficient and not dependent upon us in the West.
What do you mean? Explain what you mean by not dependent on you.
One of the things I observed when I first came to Ukraine back in 1994 and 1995, Americans and Canadians were sending all kinds of people out here doing all kinds of programs with local churches funded entirely by people in the West. And the moment that the funding stopped, could have been an orphanage or a soup kitchen, the moment the funding stopped, that ministry died. So our philosophy is completely different. We will find local people already doing a ministry, and we know it's run by locals. And again, one of the important aspects of this is that if it is not championed by local people, it will die once the funding runs out. And so we find these local people doing unbelievable work, and we come alongside with them and empower them and encourage them and give them a base of support. None of it is large enough for them to become dependent upon us. It's just a foolhardy strategy, and that's not what we're all about.
So can you give us some examples of some of the people that you've partnered with and projects that you've worked on?
Well, there's just too many to name, but I can just think of a couple. One is prisons for boys that are 9 to 14. So even as early as age 9 and 10 and 11, these boys are already in prison. And you might wonder, well, why on earth would they be in prison? A lot of cases, it's simply because of the social environments that these kids grow up in. Fathers are an alcoholic, mother's a prostitute, father's in jail or dead. So a lot of cases, these kids are on the street stealing food, not only for them, but possibly for younger siblings, and eventually get thrown in jail, and they'll spend 2 or 3 years in jail. And so a lot of these kids are in jail for, you know, through no fault of their own. They're innocent little kids who are trying to survive. Our organization, HEART, has helped purchase a number of carpentry tools and power equipment so that we can teach these boys some carpentry skills while they're behind bars. We've also purchased a number of musical instruments, and the boys' prison has an orchestra. And it is wonderful to see on a weekend about 10 of these kids coming out of the prison all dressed up in their little smart but disheveled looking suit coats, and they'll play their musical instruments in front of a church. And they'll do this for a weekend. They'll play at several churches, but then they get an opportunity to sleep in a regular bed in a regular home and be like a regular kid. And then Monday they have to go back to the prison. But for that weekend, it's a great experience for them. And we try to spoil them when they're outside of the prison and take them to McDonald's and things like that that are just a dream for them. These kids, if they don't get their act together, will follow that up with a life of crime, and they're going to end up in the prisons for adults for the next 20 or 30 years. So that's just one of our partners. We partner with people involved in camp ministries. We partner with people involved in senior care. We have one of our partners in Lutsk has one of the best handicap ministries that we've seen in Ukraine. In fact, they have a rehabilitation center for handicapped kids, and it is the only free physiotherapy clinic that really is available in Ukraine. There is another one in Ukraine, but they charge. This is the only free one. And that's something that Heart supports. And we try to find others in the West who would want to support that. It is so important to those kids that are handicapped. Now, this is not a wheelchair-friendly environment to live in. If someone is in a wheelchair, you'd be hard-pressed to find a sidewalk ramp. Most of the elevators in the apartment buildings are not even wide enough for the wheelchairs to get into. And we know that a lot of these kids are living in an apartment. They get out possibly one time a year. And that's the one of the summer camps that Heart supports. And the rest of the time, these kids live and look at four walls all year round. This June, we had Euro Cup in Ukraine, and there were four cities involved. Lviv happened to be one of them, and they built this brand new stadium. So we had a van full of young boys from Lutsk. We also had a couple of our friends here from Lviv. And we brought everybody to this Euro Cup game. And boy, if you want to talk about a highlight in a young boy's life, this was it. They were at a Euro Cup soccer game. And not only that, but they were wheeled into the stadium and seated almost next to the players, which was a huge thrill for them. And so after the game, they were the most excited young boys you can imagine. And they're showing everybody the tickets from the Euro soccer game because no one believes them that they actually went to Euro soccer. So that's just an exciting thing. And that's what gives us so much satisfaction in working with the locals. They know how to touch people locally. They know how to think of ways that kids in a wheelchair might benefit by something. And they just reach out in love to all of these kids. And there's no monetary reward for them doing this. All of them are doing things voluntarily. Nobody's getting paid. It's just amazing amount of love that these people are giving toward those, you know, less advantaged.
They're also working a lot with women.
Really, it's the women who are the spiritual backbone of the country and in most cases don't get enough credit for what they're doing. So there are women's camps that are going on in the country that we support. We also have a child sponsor program where we have many women who are involved in this as caseworkers. And so it's the women of the country that are doing so much here. And again, as I said, they don't get enough credit. And so we try to partner with them. We try to send them to summer camps themselves. They can have some retreats. So we're doing the best job that we can for women and providing them with some of the resources, some of the encouragement that they need to live their difficult lives with an alcoholic husband or a husband that has deserted the family and the wife has, you know, four or five children. And that's where our child sponsor program comes in to help, you know, quite a bit as well.
So what you're doing then is not coming in with a kind of patronizing attitude. We just move aside and we'll show you how it's done. What you're actually doing is supporting them in their efforts, really giving them the resources to learn how to do things for themselves and acquire expertise firsthand by just doing.
Yeah, you know, that's right, Paulette. And I can give you just one example of one of the churches helping out one particular family. And I happened to go with them that one day to visit this family. We knew that there was a couple of young kids in the family and the mother wasn't very responsible. And I remember as I walked into this apartment, it was a second floor of kind of a duplex, but a beaten up old house. As soon as we walked in, the mother of two little girls was with a couple of men. We don't know who they were, but they quickly scampered out like, you know, some cockroaches whose space had been invaded. And the grandmother was looking after these kids. And she was fighting off some alcoholism as well. And women from this church started looking after them and started providing them with some material things. And we got the kids involved in our child sponsor program. And now when we look back 4 years later, the mother now is completely clean and sober. The grandmother is completely clean and sober. The home for these little girls has been cleaned up. And to see these two little girls, their lives have been completely changed in the last 4 years because of this church, because of the love from people in the church, because of Heart's ministry and the child sponsor program. And so we're all working together. And when we talk about having partners here in Eastern Europe, and again, as I mentioned before, we have over 200 partners. We really work in partnership with them to change lives here in Ukraine.
So what I'm seeing is the people here in Ukraine are actually doing all the work. They don't need help to do work.
There's nothing that we can teach these talented people here in Ukraine. All they need are the resources. And through a child sponsor program, we provide the resources. Most of the churches that we partner with, they're pretty poor themselves. they're basically on survival mode. And that's where the child sponsor program comes in. Now we give them the tools to start changing the lives of people in their own communities. And that's how it all works. And you're right, Paulette. We don't have to come and teach them anything. I've had so many teams from Canada coming out here and basically come away with, I came here thinking I was going to teach something, and I was the one who was blessed because I went back to Canada having learned something.
You mentioned that you're partnering with Protestant churches, but you're pretty open to any church that is interested in working with you.
Yeah, Paulette, you know, we're less concerned with denominations than we are with individuals. It doesn't matter to us if they're Catholic or Lutheran or Baptist or Pentecostal. You know, the goal is to change the hearts and minds of the people in this country, and we can only do that through the wonderful people of Ukraine who have the same goal.
And in North America, you're looking for support from who?
Anyone who has a heart for Eastern Europe, anyone who has a heart for kids. Thousands of kids go to summer camps through the funds that we raise in North America. We have thousands of people who go through our medical clinics every year. And again, it's because of people in North America who are supporting us. So we're looking for people who are interested in, really interested in, it sounds like a lofty goal, but it's interested in changing the world, because we really can change the world, but it takes teamwork. Just like it takes teamwork for us to run our organization, we have a very small staff, but we work as a, you know, in teamwork, but we can change the world, even if it's for one child. And if you can change the world for one child, then you literally have changed the world, because you have no idea the impact that one child will have on hundreds or thousands of other children. Maybe it's a crazy vision of ours to change the world, but we think we can. And one of the slogans that we've used over the years is changing the world one heart at a time.
And you very appropriately named organization for that. So anybody listening is encouraged to join the Child Sponsor Program.
Absolutely. If you do want to change a heart, if you do want to change a family, if you want to help us change a community, get involved in the Child Sponsor Program. It's one of the best investments you can ever make. And when you get those cards and letters from that child, or you hear the wonderful stories of how your support has changed the life of a child or that family, you'll want to grab more kids, not just be satisfied with sponsoring one child.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Lloyd, for this opportunity to come to Ukraine to see what Heart's doing on the ground and to absolutely be able to confirm everything you say and more.
Thanks, Paula. It's been a delight having you here in Ukraine. I know this has been an interesting time for you, and it's just been great to have you here and have a fresh pair of eyes. And it's always good to hear your thoughts about what we're doing and what you've experienced. And so it's just been a delight having you here this summer, Paulette. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks. And I was speaking with Lloyd Sineko, the founder of HEART, Humanitarian Aid Response Teams, based in Calgary and working in Ukraine. That was just an excerpt of the conversation I had with him. We spoke for half an hour. And you can catch the full interview on the Nationalist website as well. This interview will be archived. And if you are interested in helping out with the Child Sponsor Program, and this really is a great opportunity, a wonderful way to give back to the country of our ancestors and our roots, and particularly those of us born in the diaspora, a way to say thank you to our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and perhaps even great-great-grandparents for having the foresight to come here to give us this good life, because that could be us in dire poverty in Ukraine had it not been for them. So here's a way to spread the happiness, spread the wealth, spread the joy for the cost of perhaps a Tim's cup of coffee a day. You can make a huge difference in the life of a Ukrainian child. So go to our website, which is nationalist.com. Right on the homepage, you'll see a link to HEART for more information on the Child Sponsor Program. You can also just send me an email if you want a little bit of help to get started. I'll be very happy to help you out with that process. So drop me an email, producer@nashholos.com. Also, you can call us if you're in the local area or if you have a free long-distance plan. Call 604-227-0942. I'll be happy to help you out. And also, to send you a little something extra special, just a token of appreciation for opening up your heart to a child in Ukraine.